Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the second interview with Mr. Henry Low on December 18, 1979, by Sue Ellen Chen. Mr. Low, did you feel more Chinese or American?
More Chinese.
More Chinese. Yeah. Do you ever feel sorry for being Chinese?
Oh, never.
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 You can.
Never.
Okay. Did you ever go to Chinese school?
I did.
Did you have any disagreement with your parents about going to Chinese school?
No, no. Of course, we went reluctantly, but we played most of the time.
Uh-huh. How many years did you go to Chinese school?
About 4 years.
4 years. Uh-huh. How about your sisters and brothers?
My brother went, but none of my sisters.
Why only brother and you went and not your sister? Your parents didn't believe in sending girls to Chinese school?
No. My parents was pretty progressive. They liked, but the girls didn't care for it.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Oh, in Chinese school, there's only one or two girls.
Uh-huh. And if the girls didn't care for going to Chinese school, and parents wouldn't push them and force them, right?
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't force them. Right?
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, the parents were more interested for the boys learned to read and write Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the girls want to do it or not, it's purely voluntary.
Oh, I see. Was that a typical among Chinese?
That's very typical.
Mm-hmm.
That's why most Chinese girls don't know how to read and write.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very seldom. Those who do are the exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But the general rule is very few Chinese girls.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, but more, of course, naturally in San Francisco, where they have better facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And more girls attend.
How about for girls going to public school, American public school?
All the girls attend public school.
That way, no difference.
In my generation, yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. So when anyone in your family got sick, did they prefer Chinese or Western medicine?
Well, up until, say, about 1920, most of them, before that, rely on Chinese doctor, and there are more of those Chinese herb doctors, but after say 1920, they're on American medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, were used by the Chinese after they know more about it, and of course in another decade there was this. There were Chinese doctors graduating from American medical schools. He practiced it. And that, of course, caused more Chinese to use or to have some confidence in American medicine.
I see. Which Chinese herbalist you would visit in Chinatown, Los Angeles? Or you ever visit any?
Well, Los Angeles, I'm not too familiar with those, but in San Diego, there was no regular professional Chinese doctor. Most of them are more amateurs, you might say that. But in San Francisco, naturally, with a big population, there were a few pretty well known. I remember when I was in Oakland, I went to Dr. Quan Sao Nam.
Mm-hmm.
He was well known.
Mm-hmm.
And But I never had to go too many of them, and I really, there are quite a few more that I hear the name occasionally, but I couldn't recall them now.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever eat any medicine-oriented food at home? Like a guy cooked with some special Chinese herbs?
Herbs? Yeah. Yes, yes. I ate them at home and ate them at my friend's house.
Uh-huh. For what reason?
Just for food, just like a food, sometimes as a tonic.
In recreation, did your family prefer Chinese things or Western? Like, you went to, the whole family went to Chinese music, opera, or play mahjong, or go to Western ball games, and American movies?
Well, of course, the old folks, not today, they go to the Chinese opera. But the children don't care for it.
How about yourself? Well, when you were young.
I didn't care for it either. I used to, my mother used to take me and it's boring to me. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy American music more, mm-hmm. musical comedies. Mm-hmm. I couldn't understand, she says, most of the singing is not in Cantonese.
Oh,
a lot of the singing. Mm-hmm. And the cymbal and the gong, it just sound like a boiler factor to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. How about when you were in California,
mm-hmm.
what kind of
a
recreation
did
you have?
Oh, well, it'd been all, it would be accidental. See, I just would go with all the kids in school. Mm-hmm. Being the only Chinese boy there for a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. There was no other, there was absolutely no Chinese environment. All accidental. Sports.
Mm-hmm. How many Chinese population in Taft at that time? It's about before 1920.
Oh, less than 100.
What that's most Chinese did in Taft, California?
Well,
around
they,
1920, is that correct?
Yeah, in 1912, early part of the century, I mean, kind of. Restaurant. My father had the only dry goods store. And then the other is gambling.
Mm.
Gambling.
For what? For
Chinese lottery? No, lottery for the American people, American men.
Mm.
And also poker.
Mm.
See, it was legal for a while.
So quite a few gambling houses?
There were,
owned
yeah.
by Chinese there?
Oh, yeah, they're about right on the main street across. From the railroad station, there was four of them, mm-hmm. four in a row.
Mm-hmm. Were they making a lot of money? Good business?
Well, they did pretty well. I wouldn't say they made a lot of money though. But in those days, it didn't take much though. But they,
mm-hmm.
but it actually create a livelihood for these 50, 60 residents
mm-hmm.
in Taft.
How about in San Diego? Were there Chinese environments for most Chinese there, or not many Chinese facilities?
Well, there were less more people, more stores, more businesses, but mostly people are wage earner, worked in restaurants, working in the restaurants, and some Chinese were in the farming. We had a dry goods store downtown. In fact, our store was the only one for the first one, and then the National Dollar Store, Zhou Sheng Company, came in later on about. Chinese were primary in the restaurant business, laundry, and then in Chinatown, of course, at the gambling there, the Chinese lottery. See, Chinese lottery, although it was not legal, but it was considered a legitimate industry for the Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Would they just run their lottery itself, or is this a side business of some kind of grocery store? Or
No, it was by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the buyer is the other way around. They were the main business, and the grocers was a byproduct.
Mm. So,
in other words, to have a grocery store, grocery in the front, mm-hmm. then lottery in the back.
Can you explain a little bit about Chinese lottery?
Well, Chinese,
is the difference from American lottery?
Well, the Chinese lottery is not much different than the American lottery, because the American lottery, now called a Keno or Bing Keno, is Chinese lottery, only to change the name. It consists of 60 characters. Mm-hmm. See, there were 60 characters from a well-known Chinese poem. See, Tin Dei Yin Wong and all that. And it's a...
Always the same 6 characters?
Yeah, always the 6 characters. And then when the American folks started to use it, they took those characters and put numbers on them. See? For Tin is 1, D is 2, Yin is 3, 4. It's just, exactly the same format, only instead of using Chinese characters, they use American numbers. Of course, you can understand that, you know, for the American people.
And who are the people who buy this lottery?
Mostly the American people. They like to gamble.
American?
Like people who would buy, play the horses.
Mm. See? How about Chinese themselves?
Oh, yes, they play. They play a lot themselves.
Most men or women as well?
Yeah, women too. That doesn't matter. Just people that belong.
How about in Los Angeles? Do you have that?
They had it until about as late as 1940. And then it all finally just died out because the law was more strict. And then the Chinese, by that time, went into more legitimate business. They went into the groceries. They were starting up like this pop and mom business. And then they get in there, and then they went into the liquor store. They still had a lot of laundries.
Mm-hmm.
But they slowly. And finally, the children naturally were not like to engage in gambling.
Would you say that Chinese get involved more and more in Americans' activities?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. As most of them acquire more education and learn the know-how and expertise in the various lines. Like myself now, nobody was in the travel agent. I was the first one to open here. See, we figured there was a need for it.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's over 100 travel agencies now in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Did you write to your relatives and friends in China?
Sometimes.
How many relatives you still have in China?
I don't have any more relatives. There's probably a few cousins, but we never correspond.
But before you did have some relatives in China.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes.
Whom did you write to? For example, your grandparents or?
No, my grandparents died. My grandmother died before I was born. But that is my paternal grandparents.
Oh.
We never saw them. But there I have some first cousins. And they're in the 70s, 80s now. And there's another generation, I've never seen them. My sister went back there and saw a few of them in the village. But we get a letter from them occasionally and always asking for money.
In the old days, did you have to mail money back to China to support?
Well, we don't have to, but we do the Chinese New Year. See, now in a few weeks, I'll have to send some money back there.
Ah.
See, actually, not my money. When my uncle passed away, he left some money, and he instructed, part of his will to send back so much money every New Year.
I see. Your uncle's family is back there?
My uncle's family, no, is here, but it's
just send
it's
back to money
all
to
the
whom?
To
cousins.
Well, to the cousins, his nephews.
I see. Did your father ever send money back to China?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Whom
he had.
He sent to?
Well, of course, when my grandparents were alive, naturally sent it to my grandfather. Mm-hmm. Then when my grandpa passed away, to my grandmother or to whoever. Usually the money is sent to the stores, and then they'll go and deliver it to the person who for whom it's intended for. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you say in the old days when they send money, they have to send to the store, and then the store will send the money back to China?
Yeah, I think different districts have different methods.
Mm-hmm.
But with particularly in Hengshan district, now called Zhongshan,
mm-hmm.
they have two or three stores in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And you just give them the money.
Mm-hmm.
They send it back to their correspondent there.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and then it's arranged.
Who are these two or three stores?
These stores are usually are people from operated by the Zhongshan people in Lungdu.
They're located in
San Francisco.
Oh,
yeah.
So you have to send money all the way to San Francisco, or there's a person here in Los Angeles can do the.
Well, we usually send to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Directly. One was well known was Sun Loy Company. Sonloy.
Mm-hmm.
Sun Loy.
Mm-hmm.
They were in business for 50, 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And the other one is?
Let's see. The other one is Jing Loy, Sun Loy, J-I-N-G, Jing Loy.
Mm-hmm. Do they charge you any commission?
Yeah, it's just service charge.
Service charge.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, how much is possible?
Not very much. For $20, they probably charge maybe about $2 service charge.
Mm-hmm.
See, $20 when you convert it in those days in China, it comes about 5 to 1 to get $100 in Chinese money.
Oh, I see. Were this similar to the regular family association, or it's
no.
It's just
handling
the money.
That's right. These money, they're packed like a money changer.
Oh.
See, they charge a service charge. They also make money on exchange too.
Oh, I
see. See, they get a more favorable exchange.
Were there many people do that?
Oh yeah, most everybody did that.
Mm-hmm. They send money.
It's much easier.
Approximately how much you send back each year?
Oh, not much, about $100 American money. That's considered low. In the old days, about $50. That's considered a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. And did you or others that you know join any association in Chinatown?
Oh yes.
What association you join?
Well, your family association,
mm-hmm.
and like, or your family, and then your district association.
Uh-huh.
For instance, the Zhongshan people, or the Hengshan people, they belong to the Yonghuo Association.
Mm-hmm.
Yeong.
Mm-hmm.
Ong. Wo. A-A-S-S-A. Period.
And so, what family association you belong? Lo Guanzhangju.
Yeah, the Lungong Pinyin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Four families. So.
Uh-huh.
Also, there also is a Lo family association too. You know, it's separate.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So, what were the dues paid by members? What kind of dues you pay?
Well, in the early days, the dues were very, very little, $10 a year, maybe $20 a year.
And the same as family association? And
yeah,
the
they're all about the same.
And like your family belongs to the association, and then individual member pay the fee, or one family?
Just the head of the family pays.
Head of the family pays.
Then when, of course, when the boy, the sons, get of age, when imagine, then they join. They pay
mm-hmm.
separate fee. They don't have to pay a fee until he joins.
What sort of activities did they sponsor these organizations?
Well, this primarily is social activities. But of course, recently now they have much more activity. They have annual picnics and four different banquets a year, too many, so they, in order to bring together all the members and the family together. So the children, the younger generation, know about some of the, what is the family association and what they do and why do we belong to it. And
in the early days, back to 1920s or 1930s, what kind of activities they sponsor? The same or?
Well, in those days, picnics were never thought of.
Why?
Well, for simple reason that not with big group. Actually, now I belong to another organization, the Chinese American Citizen Alliance, Tung Yin Wei. And that consists of American citizen of Chinese descent. In other words, you have to be a citizen first to be able to vote. That is a Chinese American Citizen Alliance is an organization that has been protecting the civil rights of the Chinese. It's a watchdog of unfair discriminatory law affecting the Chinese. And I've been a member now for 60 years. And they published the first Chinese newspaper that's owned by American citizens, which is the Chinese Times. Came out in 1923. Now, all the we were mostly.
So then, the CACA publishes Chinese news.
Chinese language paper, daily
in
paper.
Chinese or both
in Chinese,
Chinese. What do they have in this?
Well, the general news, mostly news about immigration laws and various legislation affecting the Chinese and the welfare of the Chinese.
Was there any change from the beginning till now within this organization? Or they always have the same purpose and the same level of activities? Or?
Well, the objective and principle is the same. The purpose and the objectives of the Chinese Medicine Alliance is to promote the welfare of the Chinese people. But the activity, of course, changes as condition changes and bring in more. That's why we're the first one to have conventions. We started a convention. That's why in Cantonese, Kan Chen Dai Wei, it's sort of a vernacular meaning for convention. But this Kan means to assemble. You see, all right. Then the other organization copied it for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're the first one that started to have picnics.
Mm-hmm.
And that got them started. Now all the families are in a picnic. Then we were the first one to have a beauty contest. At first we had the beauty contest. And then later on now, the Chinatown, the Queen contest, was visiting the CACA. But we gave it to the Chinese merchants.
So they are.
We innovated a lot of these things, and now it's come to be just commonplace things among the Chinese.
So before this family association and district association adopt this more Americanized activities or these picnics, what did they do? They help the members in what way?
They help members. See, basically, they have particular in the district. They have a place for them to stay when they come from China, and if they go elsewhere, there's different branches establishing it down, and they would, you know, knowing that they come from the same village. Or on the other hand, if they belong to the family, like the Wong Family Association, Chang, they have these families, they can go there and introduce themselves and, you know, get acquainted and be a part of the community. And it's social. You see the Chinese, like anyone, they like to see somebody back from their home village. You know, a lot of things they have in common, and see it's something to kind of alleviate the homesickness too. I mean, to know that, to find someone that come from your village, but on the other hand, they have that it's sort of a protective association too. See. It was a form of a social security in one of the early forms of social security, and they intended to take care of you in sickness. They don't pay all the expenses, at least they have a help and in the old days, the Chinese, one thing which is very important and everybody expected after they die here and they'll be buried in them. And eventually the bone will be exhumed and returned to the native village. And that's one of the functions of these family organizations. Every 7-8 years, they would go on and exhume a lot of the Chinese cemetery throughout California and Nevada and not so much Nevada, but Oregon and Washington on the Pacific Coast, where most Chinese, take the bones and put them in a box and ship them back to their native village. Well, how do they know? But they do. Sometimes they record them, see. And then when they exhume the coffin, there's always a piece of paper in the bottom to tell them his name, what village he came from, when he died. So they send them back, and then all this is shipped back to Hong Kong to the Donghua Yuyun, the Donghua dispensary. And then eventually they're forwarded to the village. See, some large family have lots of cases that go directly, and eventually they would be buried in their family ancestral grave. See, Chinese had that's what
family association.
They figure, well, eventually I'll be back in my home country, see, and not be left here. Nobody even come and visit my grave, something like that. Yeah. But that's all gone over now because since in the last 30 years, political condition in China prevent you from doing this now. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, they have family have so much. So many roots are so deeply embedded in 3-4 generations, they don't care so much about going back to the old country.
Did anybody want to return to China have to report it to the family association?
Yes, there was a time they didn't. Right? They had to pay, to go and pay a exit tax, dues, pay up the dues.
If you didn't pay up the dues, then they cannot go back. Is that what
that is, they try to hold you up. Actually, there's no legal hold onto it, but they figure some of them, they go and pay up the dues nowadays it's kind of, they're not able to collect any dues. You go to take a plane. The old days, you take a boat. You know, they stop you at the pier.
Who were the people in charge of this family association?
Usually, these so-called Chinese leaders
in different family names.
Elder.